Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
How's everyone this morning? Good. Awesome. So what I want you to do is grab a hold of your Bibles, and we're going to walk through some things this morning. I am very excited about camp. It seems to be my phrase lately. I'm like, Lord, I really hope this changes. But this season has been a bit of a challenge, even for camp, to, I think I have three or four, I even put something online and everything and whatnot, and then it just seemed to shift and change, but I think we've got it now. And so really, we're going to spend that time together. Again, the first four Sundays. There's a fifth Sunday in August, but we won't be doing camp that Sunday. That's the last. That's the holiday weekend in there. So make sure your kids are around. There won't be registration, but we will be asking the parents just to make sure you're letting me know, just so that we can have enough supplies for everything that we do, because you know we like to be crazy and we like to have fun and we like to do all kinds of things. But what a great opportunity to be able to share with a neighbor or with a friend and to invite them that way. Right? I mean, this is an easy. Hey, you know, you've got some kids there. You see them on the corner. You know them. They're your neighbors. Say, hey, we've got this going on for the kids right now at the church for the whole month of August. Would you like to come out with us? And, you know, and that's an easy way to transition into that. But today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about where am I anchored to? Pastor Jay preached a series, I don't even know how long ago it was, but he preached a series about talking about anchoring and being anchored to the Lord. And, you know, are any boaters here? Anybody have a boat? You got a boat? You want a boat? You'd like to have a boat? Okay, yeah, anyway, okay, trying to see if I can get some more into it. But, you know, one of the key ingredients in any boat is an anchor. And, you know, I was fishing out on this little lake. It's called Sky Lake. And it's just a beautiful little lake, but at different times of seasons, boy, I tell you, it is crazy how different this thing can look. And is this mic? I think this mic's a little hot right now. But it's crazy how different it can look. One minute you're out there on the water, you can go up there in June if you were to go, and there's weeds here or there, a little bit here and there and whatnot. You go out in August and you can hardly even see your way around. But in the midst of it, you're out there on a calm, beautiful day, you're fishing. I mean, there's nothing like it, right? You're just chilling, you're relaxing, you know, you're really hoping. I mean, everybody wants to catch fish, but this is just like, it's calm, it's great, and then you look over there. And over there, the sky is black. And your little 14-foot aluminum. Now, again, you know, my father-in-law has a 12-foot aluminum. I mean, we're talking about, and my brother-in-law has a 12-foot aluminum. I don't even think it's even 12 feet. I think it's like maybe 10 or whatever it is, because it's a small little boat. And that storm is coming in, and it's coming in fast. And you start feeling the wind coming in. And here's the thing about us as fishermen, when we go, we don't care because the fishing is great in the storm, okay? It really is. When the rain, now, if there's lightning, we're out of there, okay? We're in metal boats, not a wise thing to do. But if it's raining or whatever, you know, that doesn't matter. But when the wind comes up, man, it is terrible for fishing. The wind's coming around, and so the wind was just slight. It wasn't huge at this time, and we were still hitting fish, so we're like, hey, this is great, and I had my anchor, and the anchor was in and was tied on real well, and, you know, you're fishing away, you're doing whatever you're doing, you're relaxing, you're talking to your buddy, and you don't realize that you just moved clearly across to the other side of the lake, and there's this line of rope kind of going in the opposite direction that you're going in. And you realize that there used to be an anchor tied to that rope. And you're like, well, good luck. Hopefully it's the end of your fishing trip, because from now on, here's what it was for me from now on. Again, a 14-foot aluminum deep hull we have like a platform inside that you can walk on, but everything is in the back for this. And so I've got, I'm using the big motor going around getting to the place, but then we have a small electric motor on it and you're moving around. And when you don't have an anchor, I spend all my time going, and the guy up in the front of there, he's just like, yeah, got it. And I'm, yeah, keeping us in the, and I spend all this time trying to stay where I'm supposed to be, and he's having all the fun. And, you know, in this moment, that moment out there, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is not the way I want it to be. And you realize how important in a boat and in those places, how important an anchor is. And so for all of us, though, there is this extreme importance to know who we're anchored to, or we would say what we're anchored to. Because in the season of a storm, in the season, and I tell you, if you're new here, you might not know me. But if you do know me, you know that we've had a lot of storm lately, right? In my life and in my life of my family, there's been a bunch of storms. There's been a bunch of storms for the last few years. And there is this sense of having to know. And so I've been asking myself, you've heard me, if you go back through my last sermons and whatnot, I'm often preaching. One of the sermons was about the fact of what I forgot. Another sermon is the fact of talking about the what is essential, these essentials. You hear a theme there, right? Figuring out again, what is it that I need to be anchored to? But I've got something up here, and I'm really terrible when I joked with someone and I asked to bring some of this stuff and help me today, going, I really love it when the Lord gives me an illustration on Monday. Not Sunday morning to add to your sermon after you've got those things. Those are just so fun. So let me just give you a pre-warning, as they say in the theaters and whatnot, different things. Things might not go as planned. So we're hoping all of those things and whatnot. But I need a helper, and I'm looking around right now, and I don't see him anywhere. Oh, there he is. Okay, so Steve, if you wouldn't mind just coming in from the outside there, and I need a hand here. So what we're going to do is we're going to nail in, because remember I talked about the fact that a rope ain't all that good at times, that it can come loose. So instead of having a rope today, I've got some... We've got some chain. Now, again, every illustration has, someone can come along and go, so isn't a chain supposed to be a bad thing? Or, okay, this is a good thing. Okay, come with me just for a second. So what I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to nail in, and we've got a nice spike to be able to do that. I want you to nail that in for me, and we're going to do that. Go ahead. So what I'm... Oh, yes, you do. You do need something right here. I think I got what you need right here. Okay, so go ahead. So while he's beginning, now the problem is I may have picked someone who can be determined and get this done and accomplished. Okay, so you know, just as you go, there you go. Okay, so now here's what's a lot easier. Go behind there and you'll see that there's two of them back there. Get the smaller one of the two and you'll see again. See, for me, this is kind of what it's like sometimes when we're trying to anchor ourselves to what the Lord is speaking and what the Lord is saying to us. This is kind of like a works mentality. It's going to take some while. And then we've got this baby right here, okay? So that'll do something. Now, you can hammer that one in. Oh, we don't even need the bigger one back in there. I think you're going to be, yeah, see, look at that. Okay, that goes right on in there. Just right on in there now. And again, we're hoping this is dry wood, so we're hoping it's not going to split in two and really wreck the illustration. There we go, okay? Everybody, let's watch Steve do this. Okay, here we go, right? Okay, so... Good, 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 good job. Okay, thank you, sir. You can leave that there, and that's awesome. And so you could see, again, so today what I want to talk to you just a little bit about here is what were we anchored to? You know, we're going to go through some stories within the Bible, but, you know, this is good because this, we're not going to lose this in the boat, okay? You know, now it would be a little strange to have one of these out in the boat, okay, with us. But this is strong, right? These links are strong. And as long as this, I'm holding on, as long as it's got me, shall we say, I'm going to be connected. And I want you to recognize something, that this ain't the anchor over here, right? This is the sense of that it's tied to me, but we're talking about, not longer talking about an anchor here, really. We're talking about being connected with Jesus, right? We're talking about the fact that even when you think about the nails that are here and the wood that is here and the cross, if you understand those things, that this connection that we have with Christ. And so everything that we're anchored to in Jesus has got to be, obviously it's got to be biblical, but it's got to be something that we really hold on to in times of storms. And so what I want you to do is I want to talk to you about four different things today. And it's really talking about, I want to talk to Ascent Church here just for a few minutes. If you're new with us or if you're visiting us, please grab whatever you can from this. But if you are a part of the assembly and if you're online and even for the future, when we look at this video again, I want you to realize these are things that are part of who we are. And we are, and it's not just about who a church is, but because we are the body of Christ, it is part of who we are. And so the first thing I want you to write down is something that Pastor Jay had been teaching us for a while and spent a lot of time on there, and that is unreasonable hospitality. So go ahead and write that down. Number one in this that we know, and this is this anchor. And when I say this, that we are, it's not about, see, hospitality, that word sometimes everybody thinks about somebody making cupcakes and standing out in the foyer. Now, if that's what you do, please let me know and I will be right over, okay? But it's not about this. Let me tell you in a nutshell what we got to hold on to. In this world we live in right now, nobody knows where they belong. We have this such an unrest in whether or not this is our place or whether we belong or whether we're apart. I've never seen such a sense of that even in the body of Christ, that we've lost our sonship and we're back again to that sense of being lost and not wanting to know, like, where do I fit? Where do I belong? And in Christ, it's not supposed to be this way. We are walking. There is a strength that begins to happen within us as the body of Christ that we need, that the world around us needs. So if you write this down, unreasonable hospitality, but this is what it means to me, and I know that there's a whole lot of, we had great sermons on this, but this is what it means to me. It means making room. Write that down, please. If you got a phone, okay, and whatnot, write these things down, okay, somewhere that you can get a hold of this, that you can go back over it, even within the week, because I don't know about you, but I've heard thousands and thousands of sermons in my life, and I really don't need another sermon in that way, but I need something to anchor myself to. I need something that I'm going back to, something that I'm focused on, something that is intentional. And one of the things here at Ascent Church that's intentional is the belief system of unreasonable hospitality. But it's about making room. It's about living by this principle of the kingdom that everybody has a place in the kingdom of God. And why we're talking about unreasonable hospitality is then that we're going to go out of our way to make sure that everybody around us, our neighbors, our friends, the people we meet, that they realize that they're wanted and they have a place in the kingdom. You know, there's nothing like knowing that that's my seat. And I'm not talking about in the church, get ready, you know, in the sense of, we always make these jokes about the fact of, but can you imagine if all of a sudden someone new came in and not everybody understands, you know, Pastor Jay sits there, Pastor Gary sits there, Pastor Rod sits there. I mean, I think it would be awesome to come in and all of a sudden find somebody in Pastor Gary's seat. I'm not sure she would think it was totally awesome in that moment, but it would be like, and can you imagine all of us? We'd be like, oh, and the usher would be like, oh, go get a pastor. We need to know what to do because Pastor Gary's just coming in. Oh, she's in the parking lot. She's over there. And somebody's sitting in their seats. Come on now. And you're like, of course not. Pastor Gary doesn't care. She'd be like, here, let's put some more out for her. She doesn't care about those things. But what I'm saying is we might be a bit bent out of shape because that's where she sits. Right? That's where we sit. That's where this person sits. But this unreasonable hospitality sits there and goes, I'm willing to give up my place for somebody else. But here's the thing I want you to really grab from, and I'm not going to be long today with this, but it's grabbing a hold of it. It's making room for somebody. Do you know that I'm preaching all these fingers back at myself? Because being someone who recharges by myself, I know Pastor Jay and I, we do a lot of things together in ministry, and he recharges with people,
and I recharge by myself. So how do you think that goes together when we are going to go recharge? He's the boss. So what happens is we're going to go and we're going to have 100 people. No, we're not going to have 100, but, you know, have lots of people around us, because he just, you should hear him when he comes over. He goes, I had this person over my house and that person over my house. And he loves it when you guys are around. He just, it's a pastor's heart. Come on. Right? You always see it in him. It's a pastor's heart. Just loves people. Now you may say, well, what does that mean for you? Okay. It's like, I am a pastor. I get it. I understand. But sometimes that prophetic side, and it's not anything, but see, I don't get to blame it on that. I have to change. Right? We sometimes want to sit there and go, okay, yeah, but I'm this, but I'm that, but I'm this, but I'm that. But you got to recognize my calls, this and this. Sorry. Okay, so in the kingdom, it's not about your title. It's about your purpose. In the kingdom, it's about making room for somebody else. We have got to start making room. I'm going on the hunt for some unbiblical friends. I'm serious, because I spend too much time with all you. Love ya, love ya, love ya. But seriously, I don't have non-Christians in my life. And I moved to a place that's on the corner, and there's nobody living next to me. It's an empty house, and that's the only neighbor we got. And there's one across the street, and it's like, but, and I'm like, God, I got to start doing something. I'm going to have to go get into my community, think about it, and go in, not with the purpose, but with the purpose of loving, the purpose of caring, the purpose of being involved in something. You know, it's that sense of, for us, for Essex, of to be able to go, okay, you know what? This is my home. This is, and I don't live in Essex. I live in Amherstburg. For some reason, God moved us out there. We're still trying to figure it all out. But it's something that really Essex is still part of my home, because this is where my church is. This is who, part of who I am. And so it's that sense of being able to go, I got to make room for that person. And I got to make room for that person. And Lord, this person? But they drive me absolutely bonkers. Come on, you all are thinking about it right now. Y'all have somebody in your head. If you don't, it's you. Okay, so that, right? So that's that joke, right? That's always in there. But the truth of the matter is, it's a matter of God is calling us into a season to be anchored to an understanding of what it means to walk in unreasonable hospitality. I believe we need to go back over that again. I think it's something that you guys need to go and start reading about it again, and start listening to those sermons again, because you're saying this, guess what, I'm all in. And if this is a part of how we function, if this is a part, and I am a part of Ascent Church, I want to know what this means. I want to understand it better. I'm scared out of my wits. You're allowed to say that. But I want to know better. I want to walk in this more. And see, when I think about this unreasonable hospitality, it connects directly to humility. Because what happens is that, oh, I got a couple of H's here that we're talking about. Because hopelessness is everywhere that I see. But if I realize that even recently, just, it's not recent, but the last little couple of years, that there were a moment there where I really found myself hopeless. I found myself struggling, and what I began to do is I lost that anchor, that sense, and it wasn't like God left. I put it down. I let it go, because there's an understanding. See, because the truth in the matter, and truth hurts. Anybody agree? Truth really hurts sometimes. Truth is painful, but the truth was and still is in there that if I'm hopeless, I'm seeing a future without an active God. That's the truth of the situation for me. That if I'm, and guess what? Been worn out, get all these things happening, this happening and that happening and that happening. And it's not a matter of pointing these fingers at me in those moments that I can look and go, all of these things make sense. Why I'm tired, why all of these things are there. But in this moment, it's like I begin to slip a little bit, and I begin, although I still believed in the presence of God everywhere I went, my brain began to not believe in the active presence of God. What does that mean? What does active presence of God means is that God has a good plan for me right now. That if it don't look good, you heard me preach about it just recently. If it don't look good yet, God's not done yet. And that begins to slip because you're tired, because you're worn out, because the punches have come rapidly. But in that moment, it's that realization that, come on, Rod, you've begun to believe in a God that's not active. He's not willing. He can, but will he? And see, those moments, because of all the things that happened, you began to slip in those areas. But that's something that's got, we've got to hang on to. That in this moment, in this world that we live in, that people need to see a hope that's different. They need to see everything. We need to see everything through the eyes of an active Father God. Write that words down. Active Father God. And it's important to have an understanding of active, because our God is active. He is working for us and with us. He is not my genie in a bottle. I don't serve him because of what he does for me, because that's dangerous. One of the most dangerous forms of Christianity is that when I serve you because what you've done for me, I serve you even because you've changed my life. Because the problem is the minute we go through something difficult that he didn't change, what do? We got a problem of why we serve him anymore. And I serve him because that right there, those nails, I love him because of what he has done. Yes, but it's this connection and relationship and this time spent with him rather than like a genie in the bottle, what he can do for me right now. You get it? You know what I'm talking about? And that's that life that we're talking about. But see, hope is this then. Hope is something where we see everything through an active Father God's eyes. And either God is engaged in your life and something's going on, or he's about to be engaged. See, that's the key. If we're looking at something and we're going, I don't see God there. There's this belief. Sometimes we begin to shift and slip into the fact that, well, I must have done something wrong. Come on now. I must have opened a door. Step on some toes. I must have done something. And we begin to shift farther and farther away, and we begin to blame ourselves in that moment. And yet what God is saying is, come closer to me because I want to become active in your life. Hospitality, making room. Those words need to be something that we repeat over and over and over again. Because here, let me ask you something. How can somebody come to Christ in our lives if we haven't made room for somebody that doesn't know Christ? Right? Right? And for some of us, that's startlingly scary. If you grew up, I have been in the church since I was, I think, 6 days old, it feels like, in the nursery. And back then, the church that we were at, they had a crazy nursery that you'd never do anymore these days, but everybody did it at the time. There was a wall of cribs. And you'd lock the kids inside each crib, okay? And what, it's just, but that's what they did. You're all looking at me like, oh, what church was that? I'm not going to tell you, okay, in there. But that's what you did at the time. It was just this, because it was easy. They had a lot of children, okay, a lot of kids. So you had a number, you strapped them around, you put them in the cage, and away they, you know, who play with them for a little bit, okay? In the, you would never get away with it now, okay? But in this, and I have no idea why I'm talking about that. But Lord, how did that get into my head? Okay, so. But in this moment, okay, so we're talking about divine hospitality passionately believes that there is a place for everyone in God's kingdom. Come on now. You're so wrapped up in the fact that I believe that my neighbor, that friend, that person who like curses and swears like a sailor or like a trucker, whichever one you want to talk about. I used to be a trucker. Okay, I understand. I could tell you a story. No, I won't. We don't have time for that this morning. But in this moment, listen. Making room for them, not being offended by them, not being offended even by their belief system, not being offended, not being worried, not being fearful, but sitting there recognizing that God has placed them in my life. You know, there's somebody, I don't know, we'll just leave it for there for a second. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of for that section, and we'll move on. Hope spends time. It's literally, it's something in our lives that makes room. And we're talking about the fact of, sorry, I said hope. I meant to say hospitality. It makes room for somebody. And it makes their understanding that there's a seat here for someone. And I am not talking about these cushy, wonderful seats here. I'm talking about a place. I'm talking about a place to belong. I'm talking about when things are great, someone to celebrate them with. when things are not great, someone to pray with, just doing life together. Look at me just for a second. As I promised I wouldn't be long, but I don't know if that's going to happen now. But look at me just for a second. We need each other. We need each other more than anything. I spent a little bit of time with someone this week and just poured my heart out with them. We need each other. But you got to have somebody. Like, even if you're new and if you're around here, we'd love to get to know you. Come talk to us. You know, just come say hello. And if you're like, man, I've been here for 3 or 4 weeks and still haven't met that guy that goes up there every once in a while, come talk to me. We need to get to know each other. Okay, I think I've said that enough now. The next one is this. One of the anchor points, one of the things that we're holding on to is obedience. And the word to me is trust, really. Obedience and trust. I'm recognizing more and more, Pastor Jaba and I have been talking about trust a lot, that it comes down to the fact of, because I don't know, but in your life, there are things that make no sense. Anybody else got some? Because if you don't, I got a few you can borrow. Okay, seriously, things that don't make any sense. They don't line up with the kingdom of God. They don't line up with my prophetic words. How dare they? They don't line up with none of these things. The circumstances, the situations, they just don't make sense. But this is when we're walking into where my will begins to die and I begin to trust God in the middle of this storm that makes no sense. You grab your Bibles and look at it with me just for a few minutes. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. If you're writing that down, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And if you go over there, you'll see this is the story where Jesus has gone out in the boat with the disciples. And Jesus, I love this, that Jesus is having a nap in the boat. It even says, if you read it, go. It's so great to look at all the different gospels. You get a different view. It's like you're seeing it from this side and this side. One of them actually says that he had a pillow. He had a pillow. He is doing it well. He is exhausted. And remember, he is all God and all human. So he's physically exhausted from all the things that he's doing. And he's having a nap. He's sleeping on a pillow. And he's told the disciples in this. There's this phrase, if you look at verse 35, let us cross over to the other side. You've heard me say this multiple times, but that's a word for those disciples that they should have grabbed onto because they have had training. You know that Jesus at the end is going to rebuke them about their faith. And he would not do that to somebody that he hadn't already taught how to function. Jesus had spent all of this time with the disciples teaching them so that they would know this thing. He wouldn't sit there and rebuke them for their lack of faith or for their immature faith in that moment if he would not have already given them the understanding of what to do in the moment, right? This is the kind of God that we serve. So they're in the middle of they're going out. Jesus is having a nap and a good nap, okay, in there. He's sleeping. And all of a sudden, boom, like me in the middle, the storm comes up in the middle of the water. And in that moment, this storm is not just a small little storm. This storm, it talks about that the water was coming in already. The water is beginning to capsize. So what they are doing is they are bailing for everything they have. They are bailing, trying to get the water out. They're freaking out. They're looking, trying to figure out what to do. And I don't know why it doesn't really tell me how long they took, but I can imagine that there was a conversation in that boat. You go talk to them. You go wake them up. I ain't waking them up. You go wake them up. You go wake them up. And then somebody, it doesn't really say fully who in there, but somebody got the privilege of going and waking him up. And this is what they say to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, they had so switched in to fear. Anybody been there? Come on now. I'll give you about 14 examples of my own life if you don't. Hey, have any fear yourself. But in that moment, fear doesn't care who you are. It doesn't. It's ready to jump all over us. Now, in that moment, see, Jesus had already trained them. And then Jesus actually gets up in this moment. And you got to follow this in this story because I really think this speaks to us. Is in this moment, he gets up. He speaks to the storm, to the winds and the waves, and they immediately and instantly quiet and become calm. And then these crazy words. The disciples start talking to each other saying, who can this be that even the winds and the waves obey him? He's been with them all this time. He has trained them. Just go back just a little. I know it's only the fourth chapter in here, but if you go back just a little bit more, he's already released them to go out and pray for the sick, to do these things. But in this moment, we see, we often, hear me clearly, Jesus is the healer, okay? I need you to, everybody look, because I don't want you to sit there and go home and go, Pastor Rod said this. No, I didn't, okay? Jesus is the healer. He's the one that heals. He's the restorer. He's the one that restores. I can't do any of that. However, he has given me authority to stand up and speak. And what Jesus was wanting those disciples to do in that moment was to stand up and speak to the winds and the waves instead of going and getting him to go and stand up and speak to the winds and the waves. You following me? And in this moment, I think I'm reading this like brand new again for the first time, because it's hard when you are, if you've never had the experience, I hope you never do, but when the blanket of fear is on you and you can see those disciples just bailing because we're going down, like just freaking out in this moment. But where we are to get and we are to go is that we begin to be a people that we believe that we can stand up and speak. Come on now. We can stand up and speak. I have let my voice be quiet for too long. Did you catch that? All of us. We have let our voices, because we're tired, because it doesn't make sense, because we spoke the last time, and guess what? The opposite happened. Anybody been there? Maybe you're all looking at me like I got seven heads here this morning. You know what I'm talking about? You spoke something, you got up and you declared something, you believed something, and then that didn't happen. Right? And I'm telling you, some of you have experienced it on different levels. My level is down here compared to what some of you have gone through. And my level is up here in a sense for others. But it's this sense of realizing that we are called to be people that trust God no matter what the situation is, and we offer him our tongues. Write it down. I am going to offer the Lord my tongue. You're like, that is really weird to write down. It is important, because later on, when your tongue is doing, remember we talked about, right? Talked about in James, and I am one that's majorly guilty at time like this, but that my tongue, God has provision, and something happens, and my tongue burns up the provision, and then I go, see, God didn't prepare. He didn't give me what, not prepare, he didn't give me the preparation that I need. He didn't give me what I needed. And yet my own tongue burnt up what he had prepared for me. Come on now, this hard preaching, I understand that. But in this is understanding that our tongues are very, very, very important. But trust, I want to show you one other story. Wow, our time is just flying by. I was going to be short today, wasn't I? I need to stop saying that when I begin. That may have been a moment right there. So here's the other thing when we're talking about trust. And it kind of shocks me a little bit in this. But when Jesus looks at this, do you realize that Jesus says, okay, we're going to go over to Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, what does he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Think about that just for a second. Let's just let that sink in. Is it possible? Like, how does that make sense that his will was something that would be different than what Father's will would be? We know that they're all one. So what is he talking about in that situation? We know it's impossible for them to be a divide in the kingdom, in the Godhead. But in that moment, what he's doing is he's showing us how to bend our human will. He's talking about the fact of what he's going to feel, what he's going to go through, what these nails are going to do to him, what all the things that he knows that is about to come. The pain is real in this moment, but he is saying, not my will, God, not in the sense to be able, because if there's a different way to do this, because we have to understand, if you think Jesus just went, you know what, I'll do this, but poof, I'm not going to feel it. poof, I'm not going to really go through it. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it worked. And I don't think there's any kids in the room right now that I need to be concerned about in this. I'm just looking, spying it out as far as that are going to be old enough to understand this. But when I think about what he did for me, when I think about his back being torn to shreds, all the things that happened, the bloody mess that he was at the end of that crucifixion time, the shame and the guilt, to know that his creation spit on his head. Think about it for a second. I get angry with people when they offend me. Maybe you're not like that. That's great. I have to sometimes forgive real quickly. Jesus is sitting there as the God of the universe. And in that moment, I just think it's amazing what he had done for me. But he's bending his will the whole time. He's saying in the sense of this moment, going, God, I submit to what the plan is. Father, I submit to the plan. Father, I submit to the plan. And I've spent a lot of time lately saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I submit to your plan because I trust you. And then it ends this way, because you're a good God. And you've got good things ahead. See, if I stop there and I don't say that last part, it means that I've given up, right? Come on. But in that moment saying, you're a good God. I don't understand this. I don't get it, but you're a good God. I'll give you the other two in just a few, just, wow, that went fast. Okay, here we go, right? Now, this third one is this that I believe that we need to really walk into is purpose and perspective. I'm grateful that we have people that are willing to do whatever here. Okay, I really am. But I believe that there is a season coming where you need to do what you are called to do. Now, in the middle of that doesn't mean that we don't sit there and do what we have to do, because I do both at the same time. Anybody else there? Right? We understand that, right? We do both at the same time, but it's knowing what our purpose is and what we are called to do in this moment. You know what? I'm going to just skip over into the last one. And we're talking about here the fourth one is this, is the fact of expectation, a godly expectation, hope that is built on a godly expectation, that I expect God to begin to move. I expect things to change. I expect there to be something different at the end of this journey. There is this sense of expectation that we talk about when Abraham, if you look under Romans chapter 4 and verse 17 and on, and he talks about in there this words, he says, God, the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Stand with me here this morning. I know I went a lot of time on the first two and the last two we just sort of skipped through. But I'll say it to you this way. The expectation. I'm asking the Lord right now, even in this moment, if we have someone to play the piano, that would be great. But in this moment, I'm saying, Lord, fill me with a brand new expectation of what you can do. In this moment, Lord, right now, I admit, Lord, that I need a brand new expectation for this next season. I see, Lord, that you're saying to draw a line behind, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward into what you're doing. That, Lord, I recognize right now that the season that we are going into and the season that we're really already into is a season that I can't drag the past with me. It's too heavy. Makes no sense. And so I declare today, Lord, in the midst of things that don't make sense, that I trust you. If you're with me here this morning, I want you just to begin to say those words that God, in the midst of all the things that don't make sense, I trust you. I give you, Lord, the things that don't make sense. I give you these things, Lord. And I trust you that you didn't cause them, but you're not done yet, Lord. And some of them are so impossible that you can't even figure out how he could ever cause them to be better. But you are a God that is active in our lives today. We declare, Lord, that you are a God that asks us to make room. For some of us, that's just an everyday occurrence. And for others of us, that's really going to stretch. But we are a people of unreasonable hospitality. We shock people. We shock them by our unreasonable hospitality. We make room for those that are around us. And so, God, I declare today, Lord, as we go, whatever we're doing, that we will recognize that I'm called to be here in this moment. I have a purpose in this moment. It's not about having a grandiose title. It's about knowing that I have a purpose in this moment, that this person that has been placed in front of me, and that we declare that we are not too tired to recognize that that person has been given to me for this moment to demonstrate the kingdom to. Whether that's love, whether that, Lord, is healing, whether that is restoration, whatever that might be. But we recognize that our purpose is divine and it's from you. And that we say, Lord, fill us today with an expectation, not for something that just lasts until Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But enabling grace that transforms things. And so lastly, Lord, we declare that we are here. Use us, Lord, to reach the world around us. In your name, and everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.